Hare Hare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jai Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Brajojana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajojana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Tayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Pavyaja Gacharya Shrita Shrita Shri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jai Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Pavyaja Gacharya Shrita Shrita Shri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sagho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopina Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Gavadan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Gangamaya Munmai Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Shri Harinam Sankirtan Yajna Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gaurisam Devotees, All Gauris, All Gauris, Shishi, Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Hare Krishna. It's nice to see you, Maharaj. You bring the Raj Dham mood to us. So I'm so happy to see you. So we are continuing with chapter 2 of the third canto. And we're going to be reading text 1 and 2. This chapter is titled Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Iti Bhagavata Prishtam. Kshatravartam Priyashrayam. Prativaktum Nachotesham. Auktantyat Smariteshvaram. Shishuka Uvacham. Iti Bhagavata Prishtam. Kshatravartam Priyashrayam. Prativaktum Nachocheham. Autkantyat Smariteshvaram. Please chant. Shishuka Uvacham. Iti Bhagavata Prishtam. Kshatravartam Priyashrayam. Prativaktum Nachocheham. Autkantyat Smariteshvaram. Shishuka Vacham. Shishukadeva said, Iti Das Bhagavatam. The great devotee, Prishtam, being asked, Kshatram, by Vidura, Vartam, message. Priya Ashrayam, regarding the dearest, Prativaktum, to reply, Nam, not, Cham, also, Utsehem, become eager, Autkantayat, by excessive anxiety. Smaritam, remembrance. Ishvaram, the Lord. Translation, and actually no purport on this one, but we'll read the next verse. So, translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the message of the dearest, Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. And we can sing next verse together. Ya pancha hai no matran Pratarasaya yachitam tannai chandrachayan yasyam saparyam balalilayam. Translation. He was one who even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. Purport. From his very birth, Uddhava was natural devotee of Lord Krishna, or Nitya Siddha, a liberated soul. From natural instinct, he used to serve Lord Krishna even in his childhood. He used to play with dolls in the form of Krishna. He would serve the dolls by dressing, feeding, and worshipping them. And thus, he was constantly absorbed in the play of transcendental realization. These are the signs of an eternally liberated soul. An eternally liberated soul is a devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. Human life is meant for reviving one's eternal relation with the Lord, and all religious injunctions are meant for awakening this dormant instinct of the living entity. The sooner this awakening is brought about, the quicker the mission of human life is fulfilled. In good family of devotees, the child gets the opportunity to serve the Lord in many ways. A soul who is already advanced in devotional service has the opportunity to take birth in such an enlightened family. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Shuchinam shimatam gehe yoga brishto abhijayate. Even the fallen devotee gets the opportunity to take his birth in the family of well-situated brahmana or in a rich, well-to-do mercantile family. In both these families, there is a good opportunity to revive one's sense of God consciousness automatically, because particularly in those families, the worship of Lord Krishna is regularly performed and the child gets the opportunity to imitate the process of worship called archana. The Pancharatriki formula for training persons in devotional service is temple worship, whereby the neophytes get the opportunity to learn devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit also used to play with Krishna dolls in his childhood. In India, the children in good families are still given dolls. Thank you. In India, the children of good families are still given dolls of Lord like Ram and Krishna, or sometimes the demigods, so that they may develop the aptitude of service to the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Shishuka vacha iti bhagavata prishta kshatra bhartam priyashrayam prativaktum nachocheham autkantyat smariteshvaram. Shishukadeva Goswami said, when the great devotee Uddhava was asked by Vidura to speak on the message of the dearest Lord Krishna, Uddhava was unable to answer immediately due to excessive anxiety at the remembrance of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Mulitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vancha kalpatarubhya cha kripa sinubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So, in the beginning of third canto, basically the first chapter, which we actually just ended recently, sets the stage for the upcoming discussion between Vidura and sage Maitreya. But before Vidura meets actually Maitreya Rishi, he actually ends up meeting Sri Uddhava, great devotee of the Lord. And if we recall how actually this scene is actually gradually building up, we can remember that there was a question posed by King Parikshit. He was asking, when and where did the meeting and discussion take place between Saint Vidura and His Grace Maitreya Muni? Saint Vidura was a great and pure devotee of the Lord, and therefore his questions to His Grace Sri Maitreya must have been very purposeful, on the highest level and approved by learned circles. So it's explained basically that when the great personalities meet, those questions and answers, they're not ordinary questions and answers. They are on a way, way higher platform, and they're of course beneficial for entire humanity. So Prabhupada comments, questions and answers among different classes of men have different values. Inquiries by mercantile men in a business exchange cannot be expected to be highly purposeful in spiritual values. So then I'm just kind of taking a few moments to reflect on the previous chapter. Basically, we can flow much more easily into this current chapter. So Sri Vidura basically, as we know, he left kingdom due to the insult by Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. And he traveled so many different holy places. And finally, towards the end of his travels, he actually arrives at the bank of the Jamuna, where he happened to meet Uddhava, the great devotee of Lord Krishna. And now, when you look back, when he meets Sri Uddhava, there is, I actually counted, there is about 15 verses in which Vidura is inquiring about different devotees. And of course, he starts first, by inquiring about Krishna and Balaram, but then he inquires about all different personalities, different devotees. And I counted actually 21 of them, 21 different characters Vidura is inquiring about. And who are they, basically? So Vidura is asking, please tell me, whether the original personalities of Godhead, meaning Krishna and Balaram, who incarnated themselves at the request of Brahma, and who have increased the prosperity of the world by elevating everyone, are doing well in the house of Shurasena. And then he goes on, he's inquiring about, please tell me whether the best friend of the Kurus, our brother-in-law, Vasudev, is doing well. Then he's inquiring about Pradyumna, King Ugrasena, Samba, Yudan, Akrura, Devaki, Aniruddha, Kridika, Churatsena, Gada, and son of Satyabhama, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Bhima, Arjun, twin brothers, Nakula and Sahadev, Prita, which is Queen Kunti. And then at the end, he comes to the verse where he says, O gentle one, I simply lament for him, meaning the Dhritarashtra, who rebelled against his brother after death. By him I was driven out of my own house, although I am his sincere well-wisher, because he accepted the line of action adopted by his own sons. So, let me ask you, Why do you think he inquired about all these devotees? He could have just said, how are Krishna and Balaram doing, and move on. Why do you think he inquired about all these list of devotees that I just mentioned here? Anybody who would like to comment? Madhu Madhavati.
I'm assuming he cared for them, he had a relationship with them.
He had a relationship with them. That is exactly correct. So we can see that whenever the Lord performs pastimes, he is never alone. He is always accompanied by his loving devotees. And not only that, in this material world, the interactions that we have with others, whether they are devotees or non-devotees, it doesn't matter, they have actually very significant impact on our own lives. Sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. But that is the nature of this world. We cannot just, you know, lock ourselves somewhere and just chant. It's not possible. We have to live in the world where the interactions with others are happening continuously. And sometimes it is really hard to understand how even slight interaction with anybody we meet has impact on that person or on us. Like if you count in 1 week how many people you meet in your life and what is the quality of those interactions, we could actually see that even the smallest interaction, could be with a stranger you meet on a gas station, actually has either positive value or a negative value. If you walk by and you just smile on somebody, what do you think is going to happen? That person is generally going to smile back, even though may never, you know, met you before or doesn't know anything about you. So, like Mother Madhumati said, relationships, that is the essence, actually, of advancement in spiritual life. And that is essentially we are practicing in this world, and then once, you know, hopefully someday, when we do return back to Krishna, we will have very loving, sweet exchanges with other devotees. I wanted to narrate one particular story that kind of illustrates how powerful the exchange between humans can actually be. At one point, there were two friends. They were in fifth grade in school, elementary school. So what's that, about maybe 10 years old? And one of them was from a very poor family. His name was Andy. And this particular boy, he comes from a very poor family, didn't have much wealth, was always kind of wearing, you know, torn up clothing that's usually like, you know, two sizes bigger than he was, and, you know, unkempt, you know, not nicely combed hair and so on. And his father was in jail and his mother was struggling to maintain him and his sister and so on. So very, very poverty-stricken situation. Then there was another friend, Ben. He was, you know, well-to-do family. And they had a circle of friends. There was maybe 7 or 8 of them. And they would meet regularly after school and play and so on. But somehow the boys, as they sometimes do, they would always pick on this poor boy, Andy. And they were kind of using him. You know, sometimes kids, they have a way to find the victim in a group. And they kind of make jokes and fun of him at his expense. So they used to tease him and so on. They would say, "Oh, Andy Drake does not get cake," and stuff like that. So they were kind of teasing him, and boys do that, which is, to some degree, it's okay. It makes fun. But it's interesting to notice this boy, he was never protesting. He just wanted to be with them and play, have friends, because that's all he was looking, that love, that exchange. And even though they were sometimes even kind of bullying him, he didn't mind. He just wanted to be with them and play. So sometime later on the weekends, they would gather together at different, friends' homes, and they would play, and mothers, they would prepare lunches for them, and they would go in the forest and play, and so on. However, at one particular junction, somebody in the group said, "You know what, this Andy is kind of not really fitting with us. He's kind of dirty and, comes from poor family. Why is he not with us?" So that poison started to creep in into their group. And the other boys kind of, they kind of went along with that. And that is dangerous. That is called herd mentality. When people don't think, they just kind of follow, especially with bad leader. So that particular weekend, they were playing at home of this boy, which actually had a, to some degree, very trusty relationship with Andy. Andy liked him. He was always kind of joyful, when he would see him and embrace him and so on. And I don't know if the boys were just trying to gang up and kind of break up that love. But it happened that they make up a decision that weekend they're going to get rid of him. And as usual, their mothers prepared the meals. They went in the forest. And Andy was supposed to arrive later on. And they told Ben, "Because we are playing at your home this weekend, you have to bring, break up the news to Andy." And this poor Ben, he thought like, "Oh my gosh, like how did I get into this situation?" But he was pressured because, all other friends demanded he does that. So he thought, "I have to do it." So anyhow, as they were playing, all of a sudden they noticed Ben is coming through the, little curving path in the woods on his old bicycle. It was described like the bike was all rusty. It was actually a girl's type of bike. And even he didn't have a proper tires. It's described like instead of the tires, he was using the garden hose. So can you imagine that bike? So very, very poor condition. So all other boys, they hid themselves in a tent. And now there is encounter basically between Andy and Ben. So Andy comes, he's all joyful and happy, and he was looking up, toward this event to play with his friends all week, and he's so excited, and he comes and he's like full of conversation, like he starts talking with the Ben, and Ben is just being silent. He's trying to kind of preparing for the big blow that's coming. So he's just ignoring him. And Andy, he's kind of used, kids sometimes abused him, and he just he's smiling, big ears, big smile, full of life. And Ben is thinking, how come he's not noticing? I'm actually ignoring him. Why is he so happy? And it went like that for maybe 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden, Andy changed. He became sober. He realized something is not right. And Ben, he told him, Andy, we don't want you. Can you imagine that? So this boy is like frozen in time. He's looking at him, and just the big two tears appeared on his eyes. He did not say anything. He did not protest. He did not say, why? You know, how could you do that? No, no, no protest, no fighting back. He didn't say, this is cruel. How could you do that to me? This is not fair. You know, sometimes we act like that. Hey, it's not righteous. But no, this boy was so humble in the nature. He did not protest at all. Like, his face was just like filled with the tears, and he turned back, took his bike, and started walking on a lonely path through the forest. So, many years later, this boy, Ben, he grew up, and he actually wrote a story, and he, in his story, he begs for forgiveness. And he describes how actually, even though he did not see Andy, actually left school shortly after that, he said, even though I did not meet Andy anymore in my life, I've seen thousands of those faces. Like, I've seen that scene like a thousand times in my mind, where I hurt another person by the weapon of rejection. Weapon of rejection. So I was thinking about this particular story, first because it's kind of also in some way when the conditioned soul rejects the loving relationship with Supreme Lord, our eternal relationship, how painful that is. But other than that, in our daily lives, even in our small communities, sometimes we may feel like, oh, this devotee didn't treat me nicely. You know, we step on each other's toes sometimes. And how painful that is if somebody decides not to come back. And unfortunately, we have instances like that. So I kind of wanted to reflect because Vidura takes time to specifically inquire about all these devotees, and he's asking how they're doing. And it's not just for like, it's not like a show. He's actually genuinely thinking, how are they doing? You know, when somebody's asking, how are you, Prabhu? You know, you can sense like, is this person really care, or they're just asking like, you know, mechanically. So in Vidura's case, pure devotee's nature, they really care. So when they ask, they really mean it. So, and that particular scene, all these questions, they set the scene where now Sri Uddhava is actually responding. But before he responds, he's described that he's in a great anxiety. And certain words are used here that are really essential. Priya Ashrayan, meaning regarding the dearest, because we're talking about Krishna, dearest. And then it says, Outkantyat, yeah. That is excessive anxiety. So Uddhava is feeling excessive anxiety. And Smarita Ishvara, remembrance of the Lord. So, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is one particular verse by Pipalayana, the sage Pipalayana. And it goes like this. Bhakto nava vidyam cha mukhyam smaranam evahi tatsamagrindriya srishtam Manovritti Samarpanam. So sage Pipalayana is saying, of the nine ways of devotional service, remembering the Lord is the best, for it engages the mind, which is the best of the senses. So the sage Pipalayana is reasoning that Shravanam Kirtanam is done by hear, you know, ear, by tongue, we chant, glorify the Lord. And we know from experience, you could be sitting in a class and no matter how good class is, your mind sometimes wanders, you know, it goes different places and you start thinking, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to call this person. So, you know, there is a chance of us not being present fully when we are chanting. You know, take example of japa. Especially if you did not sleep enough, you could be chanting like this: Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. So there is a tendency of not being fully there. However, in Smaranam, that's not possible. You either remember something because you have to engage your mind to do that. So you either doing it or you're not doing it. So there is nothing in between. So therefore, sage Pipalayana is saying, of the nine ways of devotional service, remembering the Lord is the best, for it engages the mind. So, Prabhupada is going on and actually glorifying Sri Uddhava in his purport. And Prabhupada is saying, from his very birth, Uddhava was a natural devotee of Lord Krishna, or Nitya Siddha, liberated soul. And then he defines what it means. And Prabhupada is saying, an eternally liberated soul is a devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. And then Prabhupada comments, the mission of human life is to reawaken that consciousness. And the sooner this awakening is brought about, the quicker the mission of human life is fulfilled. In good family of devotee, the child gets the opportunity to serve the Lord in many ways. And Prabhupada is referring to verse from the Gita, Suchinam Shimatam Gehe Yoga Brishto Abhijayate. Even if the fallen devotee gets the opportunity to take his birth in the family of well-situated Brahmana or in a rich, well-to-do mercantile family. And in both these families, there is a good opportunity to revive one's sense of God consciousness automatically, because particularly in those families, the worship of Lord Krishna is regularly performed and the child gets the opportunity to imitate the process of worship called archana. Archana. So, as we know, Prabhupada often mentions that Bhagavata, Vidhi and archana, they are kind of like two tracks of the, you know, train tracks. They have to go along next to each other. Sometimes devotees, you know, may think, oh, we can just chant, we can preach, and deity worship. Yeah, Kanishtha Adhikaris. Is that true? No, it's not. We see great, great devotees, they all worship deities. Six Goswamis of Vrindavan, Madhusachi, Kunti Devi. Do you recall the example when Pandavas came back with Draupadi for the first time? And they said, Mother, Mother, we have something special. And Kunti Devi, she was busy worshipping deity. And not knowing that, she assumed, of course, that they brought some alms that they were collecting in charity. So she just said, I'll just share it equally. So, but the point is, she was busy worshipping deity. And even, you know, Krishna was present on the planet. You know, you could say, like, why? But, so, that sets the example that even great devotees, they are engaged in archana. And speaking of deity worship, Srila Prabhupada gave us so many gifts. And one of the great gifts is actually deity worship, especially for, you know, mlechas like myself. You know, what chance we could have without mercy of Srila Prabhupada to even dream about such activities? It wouldn't be possible. But out of his causeless mercy, Srila Prabhupada brought this knowledge to the West, and he trained his disciples, and now we have several generations of devotees helping each other and learning this beautiful process of archana. So, I just kind of wanted to share a few things here. We have a few more minutes. Srila Rupa Goswami has enumerated 64 activities by which a devotee in the beginning stage of devotional service, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, can engage all his senses in the service of the Lord. Among those, he has selected five principles. And what they are? Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, association with advanced devotees, living in a sacred place such as Mathura, chanting the holy name of the Lord, and serving the deity form of the Lord with great faith. So this is really important, with a great faith. Practicing these items assures rapid advancement in devotional service, culminating in pure love for Krishna. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to reconcile. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can experience dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them. And then it says something really interesting here. At least 35 of the remaining 59 items are directly related to worship of Lord in his deity form, Archa Vigraha. Therefore, the last of the five items, deity worship, is especially significant, since it includes a wide range of activities devotees perform daily. In fact, this single item, archana, is itself expanded into 64 activities, many of which in turn find their counterparts among the 64 angas of devotional service. So, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we actually find at one point Gopakumar is actually inquiring from Narada Muni about Archa Vigraha, because there are some statements in Puranas that could indicate that Archa Vigraha may not be like most important or so on. And Narada Muni goes on and dispels these doubts in the mind of Gopakumar. And interesting to also note, even though Gopakumar traveled the entire universe, he always had in his heart his worshipful deity, Gopal. We find that even when he was present in Vaikuntha, he was not, you know, fully settled, because he was just kind of feeling, you know, lack of that intimacy that he was feeling with his loving Lord Gopal. And at one point, Narada Muni, he takes him aside and he says, you know what, it's not proper to speak about this here, but I'll tell you, there is a place where the bliss is much, much greater. And then he gives him instructions, actually, how to go first to Ayodhya, and then Dwaraka, and then from Dwaraka to Goloka. So, I wanted to mention, since we are speaking about Sri Uddhava, there is one very sweet exchange that takes place in the house of Uddhava. So, while Gopakumar is visiting Dwaraka, first of all, he arrives and he sees Lord Krishna in assembly of all the great Yadavas. He faints, and Uddhava is present there. He's massaging Lord's lotus feet. And understanding fully the desire of the Lord, Uddhava jumps immediately and lifts Gopakumar and brings him closer to the Lord and touches his head on the Lord's lotus feet. And Krishna, he takes Gopakumar's flute. And Krishna is completely bewildered because, you know, on one hand, he is in front of all the Yadavas in Dwaraka. It's a different mood. But he sees the flute and that brings all the ecstasy in him. And then he inquires from Gopakumar, basically he's saying, like, is everything well at the place where you come from? And it's described, Uddhava, who is a very confidential servant of the Lord, he's disciple of Brihaspati, and he's expert in communicating with the Lord. So he makes indication with his eyebrows to Krishna, kind of hinting, not here, we are in front of the Yadavas, you know, kind of don't go in that direction, because King Ugrasena is present. So he kind of hints to the Lord, you know, let's not discuss Vraj pastimes here. Anyhow, Krishna tells Gopakumar, you should stay at the house of Uddhava. And why? As we know from previous events, at one point Krishna sent Uddhava to Vraj to bring message to gopis. So Uddhava is really, really unique devotee, as Gopi Paranandana Prabhu once said. He has very unique appreciation for the Vrajdham. So therefore Krishna purposefully placed Gopakumar in the house of Uddhava. Anyhow, I have two more minutes, so I'm going to try to summarize this. After a short time staying in Dwaraka, some of the Dwaraka vases, they approached Gopakumar and said, you know, you can dress like us. You know, we kind of feel sad that you look a little bit different. And Gopakumar, he's still dressed as a cowboy. So they said, you know, everybody here can, you know, it comes, you know, simply by living here, you can be dressed like us. And Gopakumar says, no, thank you. Because he did not want to ruin that inner loving rasa that he has with his Lord, Gopal. But from that point on, he gets really sad. So he feels a little bit uncomfortable even going into the assembly hall of the Yadavas. He thought, like, I don't want to disturb them, you know, I'm kind of different. And then Narada Muni appears, and that's where really sweet exchange takes place. Because Gopakumar is saying, he falls down and touches Narada's feet, and he says, my dear my dear sage, I remember seeing you in heavenly planets and in Vaikuntha and here, and you look always the same, you know, how come, you know... And because he thought, like, you know, how Narada is, you know, he's not changing, why should I change? And Narada is always dressed as a sage, of course. So anyhow, then Narada goes on, and understanding the mind and heart of Gopakumar, he tells Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, you know, basically there is no better person to enlighten this poor boy, this cowardly boy that is suffering here in Dwaraka. So then he requests Uddhava to speak. Anyhow, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to leave you on a cliffhanger. If you like to find more, please read this wonderful book. But we're going to stop here. If we would summarize, we spoke essentially about the importance of relationships. We spoke about the smaranam, how actually important smaranam is. And we understand without proper hearing and proper chanting, there is no chance of remembering. Those two are prerequisites, so we can actually even attempt proper smaranam. And then we spoke about the importance of deity worship and how a beautiful gift that is that Srila Prabhupada gave us. So I'll stop here. If anybody would like to offer any comments, any questions, any critics, please do so.
I have a question.
Yes, Prabhu.
So if I see a devotee and I ask, how are you doing? He said, do you have a few hours to talk? To let you know how I'm doing. I will probably immediately think like, actually I don't. So is it proper to ask or not proper to ask, or should I tell in front, you know, you can give me answer in one sentence, or not actually showing interest? Because when you mentioned about this, very interesting. I mean, we do care for others.
Yeah.
But there is a limit also. So what is your proper way to address that?
That is a very good question. And you're correct. Some people, they actually take advantage of that situation and may kind of take, you know, half of your day. So it really requires good sense of judgment. Sometimes it is good to ask, sometimes it's not. And sometimes it really depends on case by case. I don't think it's like a black and white situation where you could say, yeah. Like some devotees have very complex issues, very complex problems that require more time. And it doesn't mean we shouldn't actually give them the time they need, but it just, you know, if you're in the middle of the service, you simply can't do it. You have your schedule, you have to prioritize. I would say that finding the balance is really, you know, is key in situations like that. And that if we run in a situation where we do ask, Prabhu, how are you doing? And then we sense that there is actually a lot that devotee has to say. We can always try to schedule some time later on saying like, oh, I'm really sorry you're feeling like that. I have to do this seva, but let's get together this evening. Let's get together this weekend. You know, let's not just brush it off like, you know, say, oh, I'll see you next time, you know, next Janmashtami. But rather than that, if we actually have the trust of that person and that person is trusting us for help, then we have a duty to help. And if we can't do it immediately, then we can say, oh, let's get together this weekend. You know, we have time, you know, come to my house. Let's get together and let's talk. Something like that.
Thank you.
Jai. Yes, Madhur Madhavat.
I was just thinking about the question he, Pranavana Prabhu asked, that maybe one can say, rather than asking a question if you don't have time, to say, you know, I pray that you're doing fine. And that's one way to communicate, to say, I pray that you're doing fine in that way. There's some expression, but if you don't have the time, then it's one way to do it.
Excellent. Yes, yes. That is actually indication that we are well-wishing our friend or, you know, whoever we are interacting with. But at the same time, we may not be even qualified to help everybody, and maybe that person needs to approach somebody senior than us. So
it's not so much on the help. I give you an example. I'm just thinking whether it's proper to say. Like Sripada Radhanath Maharaj asked me over the phone, I want to know how you're doing, I'm coming to Alachua, before he came. Then one day we spent, he said, let's go. And we sit for three and a half hours in the car, just me and him, and talking. It's not really how am I doing, it's just the overall,
yeah,
where I am in spiritually, social, you know, everything.
Yeah.
So because he cares for me, I felt, so he spent that time. But then some people, that when they say, do you have it, like someday I can talk, and I feel like, I mean, I don't want to say, but I feel like there has to be some kind of a criteria that, because I don't know that person well, and I don't know if I want to spend 2-3 hours, I just feel like, because he's so abusive, you know, like, abusive in a sense, like he comes from a group where everything is wrong in ISKCON or something, or the leaders.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like, but at the same time I say, maybe I'm doing wrong, maybe I should hear and help, or I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's very delicate subject, and like you said, some people have a tendency to blame everybody from A to Z, and in situations like that, there's really little we can do. Because unless the individual that we are interacting is willing to take the ownership of their life, of their situation, nobody can really help. I mean, we can only help if somebody has the sense of ownership for their situation. So we can see, is this person really sincere? And if they are, then we should give all of our energy. But if it's just one of those, you know, it's everybody else's fault except mine, then Prabhu, I'll pray for you, but I can't do much.
Okay.
Yeah, Prabhu.
So, Prangovinda, made the point, and that note, I reflect on I know some people, I've had encounters before where people, I can just speak about this in a general sense, like you have people who, they have issues, but they don't really, the motive's not quite right, they don't really want to change, it's like they want relief from their distress, not that they want, and then they will come to you, feeding off you, taking your energy, find relief.
Mm.
But they don't, you know, it doesn't, and you give them a suggestion or something, then they would like maybe disagree or argue the point. Prabhu, maybe not, I don't want, but still they want your time. I will come across that. And then people like those, I just don't find time for them.
Well, you don't know him out front, like after talking a few minutes and then you know that.
Yes. Yes. After several, I'll give several opportunities. I would say, you know, I could meet 2-3 times. And then after that, I'm thinking, well, what's going on here? Then I realize, this person's not really interested in changing. He just wants relief from the distress.
You know, one thing comes to my mind, and I'll go back to Pranagovinda Prabhu said, with his example with Radhanand Maharaj. We live in the times where the regular human interaction has been replaced with the digital gadgets. So, if you go to any, you know, college campus, you're gonna see students, they're all walking, you know, like this. They're not talking to each other. They're just, after the class, they're walking, they're staring at cell phones. So, due to the environment that we are in, there is a great need for interactions, for quality interactions, not just, you know, let's shoot the breeze, but for quality interaction, like, and that requires two sincere individuals, two sincere devotees, who, you know, not just, you know, like talking about Prajalpa, like perfect example, Prana Govinda and Radhana Maharaj. So then it is very meaningful, and it's not anymore like, you know, I need help. No, it's actually, it becomes like a sweet exchange. It's like a story we were talking with Andy and his friend. You know, we want to be with like-minded people. It's not like we necessarily need help, but we want to bounce ideas. We want to reflect and hear what this devotee has to say. And usually these conversations are very confidential and very sweet. But to have that kind of relationship with such devotee, it's a privilege. And we have to be, we have to qualify ourselves to have someone like that in our life and pray to Krishna to send friend like that. So it's a unique gift, and if we have someone like that, we should never take it for granted, because it's extremely, extremely unique to have a friend like that in spiritual life. I'll stop here, otherwise I can go all day. Thank you so much. Karantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.